Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system, fails the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the Star Chamber Show presented by Seventh Star Press, Tomorrow Comes Media, and the Imagineering Convention. I'm Susan Roddy, and I'll be one of your hosts this evening. On the line with me tonight are two of my favorite people in the world. We have the always awesome Sayla Janelle and Alexander Christian, our beautiful and talented guest host this evening. We're down a few tonight, as you can see. Our regular MC, Steven Zimmer, is a bit under the weather tonight, and a couple of prior engagements have tied up the others, which means tonight is ladies' night. That's right, kids.
That's right.
We're going to be taking over, and we are ready to rock. We're live till 10, so get in the chat room and join in the conversation. The number here is 619-639-4616. And tonight, since the girls are taking over, we're going to be talking about women writers and genre fiction. So let's get started. Take it away, ladies.
Okay, first of all,
so you,
I have to ask.
Yeah, you know what
I'm
talking about.
FW, I mean, am I allowed to say, like, shit and fuck on the radio? Because if not, then I just won't say shit and fuck on the radio, and I'll just be really, really good and not say shit and fuck on the radio.
Okay.
Well, I think you just killed the radio in the first 3 seconds, so you're
fine.
Yeah.
I mean... I was asking because I don't want to offend anybody. So, you know, because I know that I say shit and fuck a lot on the radio. I just feel compelled. So,
yeah.
Anyway, women, genre fiction, and I'm not a normal host, so I don't have to begin.
Well, I will begin because I am ready to go on this. So an article came out this week, and we have all been talking about it. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about it. I am not going to name the author or the site, only because I feel that this was not professionally written. It does not bear any more comments or clicks on it because it's just completely offensive and in the guise of, like, a professional industry article. Basically, this is something that accuses female authors, depending on their spouses, to write romance. Except my okay, let's start with the very basics. One, what... Two, okay, this whole article is completely contradictory. If this is a rant, I'm fine with people ranting. We've all ranted. Do it on your personal blog. This is a technology website. Why is this on there, for one? Two, he quotes some women. Not all of them are romance authors. You know, a lot of them are actually very successful in making the move to write full-time and even support their spouses in cases. You know, he's giving percentages and numbers, no sources cited, nothing to back this up. You know, he kind of contradicts himself throughout the whole article, you know, saying that his real problem is with the self-publishing industry promising, you know, that to make people a lot of money. But it always comes back to the women, you know, quitting their day jobs and writing and their poor husbands having to work. Then in the comments, you know, I applaud all the phenomenal guys who, you know, John Scalzi, I think, was the top commenter for this. And kudos to him. to a lot of other fine guys like him for, you know, slapping this guy down and, you know, pointing out that if you are an artist, you need a support system, and just as many men have been supported by their spouses as they made the move to start writing as well. You know, but this guy's comments to people's replies are ridiculous. Not only is there mention that he changes the article after he started getting negative feedback, he also, like, makes it a point to say, like, men who depend on their spouses while they're doing their writing career, establishing it, aren't real men. You know, he does these cutesy little comments. How is that, as a writer, whether you're male or female, in any realm, professional? I mean, seriously, if you want to be taken seriously as a writer, if you want to even rant as a professional writer, what are you doing? Male or female, I don't care. What is that? Go.
Well, okay. First of all, this guy, okay, it's the same argument that people, and not just dudes, I mean, it's been late, women too, have, you know, been have always talked about how, okay, well, you know, women that are housewives, that, you know, choose to stay at home and raise children, they're not really working. There's this misconception, you know, that people that don't go out to a job and work 9 to 5 every single day are not really working. And see, I find this really offensive as an artist and as a woman, because, you know, like Amy said in the chat room a few minutes ago, writing subgenre romance is working. Writing horror is working. And most people that I know are maintaining a full-time day job and then coming home and writing for another 8 hours when they get home. It's fucking hard work.
I do not have a spouse. I will use myself as an example. I am, you know, everything I do is in the arts for the most part. I do not have a spouse, but I have family who is very generous enough to help me out. And, you know, I, you know, am not in a position to fully do everything myself, but they're okay with it. But I work a full 40-hour a week, sometimes more. I've worked 100-hour weeks. I have, you know, done a 40-hour week day job, then come home and worked on freelance commissions, then started working on books. You know, don't tell me, as a woman or an artist or a person, that is not real work, or that I'm really not in the arts because I'm not part of the 0.01% that has my face on a poster or is getting a Tony Award or is J.K. Rowling.
Right. I mean, let's not even talk about Susan. Let's not even talk about Susan, because Susan has a day job, and then she has her writing, and then she's a toddler. And I think that, like, adds a whole other layer of fucked up right there. You know, the poor woman is having to lock herself in the closet and give them a teeth. So, you know, I just, you know,
see,
the whole thing is freaking offensive.
Well, see, that's the thing people don't seem to understand. It's not just, especially people like this guy, it's not just about, you know, sitting around eating chocolate and being fanned by the Cabana Boy. There is actually real work that goes along with it. And when you do have kids, that's a full-time job in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be really, really mean right here. We have somebody on the line, and I'm just going to kind of throw him to the wolves because, you know, he's the guy during ladies' night. So.
Uh-oh.
We have John Allen on the line, so we're going to let him comment on his opinion of this guy. Take off.
All right. Well, I read the article. At first, I hadn't heard about what had happened or whatnot, and I saw Susan saying that she was going to be nice, and I was like, oh, wow, let me find out what's going on. And I read the article, and it's ironic when I read it because for the past year I've been in a situation which is the exact reverse of what this guy was saying. I've been the one who was working part-time and was home writing while my wife was writing, was working full-time. I wouldn't have been able to do the things that I've done with my writing had not been for her being supportive of me during that time. I was downsized from my job, and it was a struggle and still is. I'm currently seeking full-time work to help, you know, with around the house and with home and everything. But I was in that position where I wasn't working full-time, and I was the one home writing. And I think I forget who it was, but they made a statement in the comments, and they said, you know, if this were a man, would you be saying that they were playing at writing? People who are writers, they're not playing. You know, I don't sit around on my behind and in a smoking jacket with a pipe and pontificate. You know, I get into the trenches. I work just like all of us do, and it is real work. It's funny that people will say that it isn't, but I challenge those people who do to try and write a short story or to write a novel. They, 9 times out of 10, they couldn't do it. And if those who did possibly succeed in doing it, you read it and you think, wow, really? Is this, you know, is this what we're doing here? You know, I think that he has an issue with, A, not being a competent writer himself, and, B, not being afforded a chance to do something that he wanted to do in his life. So now he's taking it out on, you know, women, and then he's also trying to make this whole thing about women taking advantage of their husbands working while they're at home trying to play writer and whatnot, and it just, it's really absurd. And obviously this person is out of touch. He's out of touch with the writing profession, and he's out of touch with the reality of the situation as far as gender issues are concerned. That's my opinion on the whole thing, and that's my little 2 cents.
Well, okay. While you were saying that, Don, I had a thought. Have you noticed? And okay, maybe I'm ultra sensitive because I am a romance writer, and I know that Sayla writes, Susan writes, you know, some romance, but she writes mostly spec fic. And so, you know, maybe I'm just kind of overly sensitive here, but it seems to me that romance novelists, women especially, are the whipping children for all publishing industry rants. You know, it's like nobody ever says, hey, you know, this horror writer is playing at writing. Nobody ever says that. It's always, you know, self-published romance writers that are the ones who are like the bane of the publishing industry existence. And, you know, and I'm really sick of that shit. Number one, I am not self-published, but I have great respect for people who can do that. Because it's a lot of freaking work. Oh, my God. The reason why I don't self-publish is that I just don't know how to do it, you know, because you have to be responsible for everything, and God knows I don't like to be responsible for anything.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
what
I think, you know, people have to realize if you're not, you know, if you are not utilizing, let's say, okay, you don't have to utilize a spouse or a family or, you know, sleep on a friend's couch as an artist, that's great. But if you are self-publishing, you know, or even if you're not, at some point you are going to need a lawyer or an accountant or a manager or a publisher, or so you are going to need people to help you do this. You know, this is not all you. And if people can do it all you, that's fabulous. But, I mean, at some point you're going to have to even self-publish, pay editors or pay cover artists. You know, there are very few people who can do it all well themselves. So to kind of imply that, like, the author is the only person kind of doing this as well is kind of just like, you know, you're taking a lot out of the context and negating the whole huge support
right.
structure that an artist
yeah,
needs.
And I'm the first person to admit, there is some shit on Amazon, okay? There is some absolute shit on Amazon. There's some absolute shit in Barnes & Noble, too. Okay? Let's just be honest. I mean, you know, there's a lot of crap out there, and you do have to wade through a lot of crap. And, you know, and I am famous for ranting about dino porn and stuff like that because it does lessen what the rest of us do because it's very hard
yes.
to find good romance out there.
It is.
Because you have to swim through all of the, you know, lactating Lauras and, you know, and I'm not kidding. I really wish I was kidding that that wasn't a title, but no, I didn't make that up. And Taken by the T-Rex. You know, stuff like that.
Wow.
You have to wade through all of that crap to get to the stuff that's really good. And so, you know, but I'm not going to judge anybody in a, you know, broad generalization, saying that they don't deserve whatever success that they have. And that seems to me what that guy is doing, is he's generalizing women and blaming an entire group of people because he can't be successful. Oh, well, if, you know, everybody in the world wasn't able to publish romance, I would be a successful novelist. Well, maybe no, you wouldn't, you know. You may still be, you know, skirting on the fringes of crap like you are now. And aren't we all? And it just really kind of upsets me that that as writers and as artists, we're kind of turning on each other. And, you know, you can't do that. This is not a way to be. We were talking about that at Con earlier this week, you know, that writers, probably more than any other artistic discipline, have to support each other because we're all out there together in the same boat trying to get our works out there. Unless you are Stephen King or James Patterson or somebody like that, there ain't nobody doing shit to promote you. Anything that you do, you have to pretty much initiate yourself. And that's whether you're whether you are self-published with a small press or with a big thick press, you are largely responsible for doing your own marketing. Mm-hmm. And so if we are turning against each other, we're shooting ourselves in the foot right there. Because if that guy, if I ever saw the name Michael Kozlowski, and yes, I will say his name over and over and over again so everybody knows what a douchebag he is. But, you know, would I ever, if I saw his name come across my Twitter feed and saw his brand new book, am I ever going to share that? Hell no. I would never share it. So, I mean, he's shooting himself in the foot, like pissing off authors, because you know that authors are the primary people who are reading that blog. I mean, that's how I found it in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, see,
I do think that there is some truth in a couple of the comments that were made. There are several people that actually accuse him in the comments on that horrible post of writing clickbait, trying to get attention for other things on the website because apparently their numbers are down. And I've seen it. You know, there are a lot of people that do that. Now, I do believe wholeheartedly that all of the misogynistic opinions that have appeared in this blog post and the following comments are very much his. That's just how he is. But I do think he may also be attempting to gain readers for other things, thinking, oh, well, I can do this, and then they're going to flip through the rest of the website when what it's going to do, the people that he really needs to be depending on, the authors are going to be the ones boycotting him for being an idiot about it.
Yeah.
I just want to take a moment before we forget. I just want to take a moment with that in mind, now that we've added him. I would just like to shout out to the amazing female authors that were misquoted in this article, because these are the ladies I think everyone should just go get their books right now to stick it to, you know, this ridiculous opinion. So we've got Patrice Fitzgerald. Definitely check her out. There is a lady by the name of K-B-A-Y-L-O-R. Check her out. G.S. Jensen, that's J-E-N-S-E-N. Check it out. Let's get these ladies some numbers, because you know what? And any female author, romance or otherwise, you know what? This is how, rant session aside, this is how we speak of, you know what, we're not going to put up with this, is let's give support to these awesome ladies, to the people in the comments who, and they're not loading on my feed or else I'd give some more shout-outs, who, you know, were really great about sticking up for people and pointing out the obvious problems with this post, you know.
Right. I think it's important to do that. I had a conversation yesterday a couple of fantastic writers yesterday about this article, and one of them was John Hartness, who is a friend of mine and Susan's. He was saying, you know, don't fall in the internet trolls, don't feed the internet trolls. And on one hand, I absolutely agree with that you shouldn't feed internet trolls. You don't go to the site to read this article and click on it and, you know, get in this traffic. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, sometimes you really do have to speak up. And I felt like in this case that as a woman and as a writer, I really had to speak up because, you know, I just thought it was outrageous. I just could not believe it. When I was reading it, I could not believe it because it was an open attack on women writers. And that should just be unacceptable. So I felt like I couldn't
fully applaud most of the, I would say about 90% of the commenters, you know, stayed away from the obvious trolling or baiting, and they gave some really great, legitimate, calm defenses or that either disrupted his line of thought or article. You know, I applaud most of the people who commented on this. I thought really were very professional, behaved themselves, and pointed some wonderful points out that he then, you know, just sort of threw back in people's faces. So
I think that says a lot about our community. He totally used the grade school approach to his commenting, because his comments were not things like, well, you know, this is what this may have been your perception of, but this is what I really meant, or trying to back up his opinions, his ridiculous caveman opinions with actual facts or, you know, or sources or whatever. All of his comments were just stupid little flippant, you know, middle school comments, like, you know, basically he was just standing there with his hands on his hips, going, well, you're stupid too, you know, I mean, it's like, it was you know, I know you are, but what am I, sort of thing, and it was just ridiculous, and then he became a caricature of himself by the end. I'm like, dude, you are now the Justin Bieber of blogging, okay? It was ridiculous.
Definitely.
Well, see, I do think that the one thing this ridiculous blog post does, it brings to light a topic that I think we're all going to be a little bit touchy about, and it's the fact that, you know, you've got personalities like this constantly persecuting women in general. You know, it's hard enough for a female writer to make it in this world without people like him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Definitely. Especially in a world that is not dominated by female writers. Romance is at least dominated by female writers. Fanfic is not. And, you know, I consider myself to be a speculative fiction author because I do write some things in that arena, and my romance is even kind of darker than most, you know. But fanfic writers are predominantly men, and it just, I mean, it really sucks that women can't get the support that they need, you know, in that particular genre. I mean, it made me so angry. I just couldn't deal with it. I was just so angry. But, you know, anyway. We can stop ranting about this now.
I don't want to tire people out.
Yeah.
Well, see, I've actually got a pretty good idea as far as moving on to a new subject. And, again, I'm going to put John on the spot because he was crazy enough to call in with all of us tonight. You know, we're talking about how it's hard for women to get ahead in the specfic realm, but what about putting a man into something like paranormal romance? What happens then? And I know that John writes some paranormal romance, so I'm going to make him talk about it now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I actually want to talk about it. When I first started out writing, it was urban fantasy, but I had been reading a lot of paranormal romance, and I was intrigued by it, and it was just like I couldn't get enough of it, and I was like, looking at the listing of authors, and the majority of writers that I read are female, ironically, and it was like, well, where are the guys, you know? And I was like, you know what, you know, I'm reading this, I'm liking this, I'm wanting to write this, and so I decided that I was going to write a paranormal romance short story and submit it, and it ultimately got picked up. And I was very proud of it. I was proud of it because it was something that was outside of my normal element. It was also something that touched upon a genre that I don't know if it's on purpose, but a lot of males tend to shy away from. And I guess I'm brave in that sense. Susan keeps pointing out that I'm brave to even be on the show tonight, but I think that I really enjoy the genre, and I look forward to writing more stories in the genre. And I had fun writing that story. I live vicariously through my characters, so I had a lot of me in those stories, and it was really good. It was a really good experience.
Well, I personally have read some of John's romance, and I can tell him as a romance novelist that he's quite good. So, you know, all you guys out there who want to have some romance on your Kindle and you don't want anybody to know about it, yeah, we know it's there. But John's a good one to go to because he does write really good paranormal romance for anybody. But, I mean, you know, because boys like to read books by boys a lot of times. But he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would definitely recommend him to check it out. You know, and I think men are kind of really starting to break into romance, and there's this misconception that they're, like, perverts. I don't understand it. Honestly, you know, I've never understood. Well, I mean, but people think women are perverts, too. Women that write romance, and say, oh, she must be freaky in bed. No, really, half the time I'm too tired. So, you know, I think it's really funny that, you know, but men get the same kind of rap in romance, but.
To balance this out, I think people forget that. I mean, like, Neil Gaiman has written romantic stuff. I mean, in his short stories, and there are definite romantic and sexual elements. Like, he's written, like, this alien sex story that went into some anthology, and it's in one of his collections. He's written, you know, parts of Sandman are really, I mean, out there. Not out there, but, I mean, it definitely is everything shown. And he does it very, very well. I mean, I love reading his take on those scenes, because I feel like he keeps a very good balance, and he, you know, he keeps it balanced with the rest of his, you know, the work with the speculative elements just beautifully. I mean, it can be done, and there's no shame and nothing weird about that. I mean,
I was telling somebody this weekend when we did the big sex panel at Con Carolinas, which we will have to talk about at some point. This is crazy. There was a guy that was asking about, you know, men writing erotica. We had the same sort of conversation, and I was telling him, if you want to read some of the best erotica, there is a guy out there, his name is Thomas Roche. Sometimes he writes under Thomas S. Roche, I think, R-O-C-H-E. But he writes short erotic stories. He's been in a lot of different things. The one that comes to mind is he wrote something for a collection called Allison's Wonderland. It was an anthology that was done by Allison Tyler, like, last year or something. But his stuff is so freaking good. I mean, at first I, like, saw he was a woman just writing under a man's name. And then I thought, what kind of crazy fucker in their right mind would be a woman writing romance under a man's name? I mean, geez, just make it easy on yourself, ladies. But I looked him up and said, he is, in fact, a man. But he's so freaking good. Like, because erotica, a lot of times, erotica is not just about the, you know, insert tab A and the slot B. I mean, repeat. That would just be boring. But it's more, I mean, it's more about the language that you use. It's more about the circumstances. Mental connections and stuff like that. And, I mean, I could go on forever and ever, but this is not about erotica. But anyway, a lot of times men writing erotica that I've read don't get that, because men don't see sex that way. Men do see insert tab A and slot B a lot of times, not offending anybody.
Yeah.
But they just don't tend to write from the brain out. And this guy really, really does. So if you're a guy and you really want to write erotic romance or romance, period, I would totally recommend reading this guy, because he's just amazing. And now I am part of his fan club, and he's probably going to have to, like, write a cease and desist order for me to stop talking about him. But, you know, seriously, I would totally read him. And Alora's Cave has a new imprint that's called EC for Men. And a lot of those writers, I believe, are male writers. So might be something to check out if you are a man that has a hankering to write romance.
Well, can I get in here and say something? I would like to let you guys know that there are some of us who do right with our penises instead of our brains.
You write with your penis instead.
But I find that when you're writing just the sex, then that's not romance. That's not even erotica. That's porn. That's in my opinion. Erotica or romance has, well, romance, let's tackle romance. To me, romance is the setup, the build-up to the climax. You know, you have two people and they have objectives. Generally, those objectives are to find happiness or love, and then you have obstacles. Maybe it's the past, maybe it's someone or something that's preventing them from getting to this goal and achieving this goal, and you build up the relationship between the two characters, putting these obstacles in their way to build them up to the point where they're actually even ready to be with one another, and then there's usually an explosive climax. No pun intended. And then from that point, then you have the love, and it blossoms. Well, with erotica, then it's not always a love situation. That way, you can get more into the lust of the situation, and it becomes something that there's a pursuit, there's a desire there, and there's a story that unfolds to get to the sex, as it were. So it's not just, you know, yeah, I saw her in a bar and she knew what was up and, you know, we got a hotel room. I mean, that could be erotic. There's more to it than that. And, you know, anything else, you know, that's just bare bones, that becomes porn. And a lot of people can't differentiate between those different genres, and they tend to get them confused. And you have some people who don't understand that if you want to write in a specific genre, you really need to read in that genre first before you start writing. You know, if you just decide that you want to be a horror writer, for instance, and you have not read a horror story, seen horror movie, read horror book the first, and you try to become the horror writer, you're going to fail because you don't know what it takes to write in that genre. You know, writers are readers, and there's a reason for that. So that's why
and
I wanted to say
sure
I'm
that,
a little soapbox there.
Yeah, and I would make sure that, you know, you would write, you would read the kind of author that you want to be. Like, you know, I'm such a fangirl for Anise Nin. I mean, totally, oh my God, I'm such a fangirl. I wish that I had been live in the 20s in Paris so I could meet her. But that's the kind of erotic romance or erotica that I want to write. And so I read her first off when I was in high school, but I still have my copy of Little Birds, my copy of Belle for Venus right there. And I go back to it over and over and over again. And I think that's one of the things you have to do. If you, whatever writer you respect, read everything you can by those people, because it's going to color your style. It's going to help you kind of figure out and find your own way. So, but now we can get off of the erotica thing. You know, I didn't mean to like take up like 20 minutes of the show on erotica.
So what are you guys reading?
Yeah. What are people reading? That's what I want to know. Right now I'm reading Eyes of the Dragon by Stephen King, and I am reading, I read it a long, long time ago, but I didn't remember a whole lot about it, and I'm writing a dragon story right now, which is the story actually has very little to do with the dragon anyway, but it's the kind of tone that I want for the dragon story that I'm writing, so that's kind of how I ended up there. But I'm one of those stupid people that tries to read, like, too many things at one time. So in the bathtub, I'm reading Eyes of the Dragon. And then at work today, I started beta reading my sister Lucy Blue's new book, just a novella. Holy shit, I totally feel inadequate as a writer now after reading it. But I'll get through it. No, seriously, it's so fucking good. Y'all just don't even know. You just don't even know. I sent it to Susan so that she could read it, because, holy God, we didn't want to talk about it. So, yeah, I'm reading that. God, am I reading anything else right now? Usually I'm reading, like, two or three things at once.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just went to the library today. I did start, and I had to put it down because I got busy with old school promotion. I did start this book called The God Killers by this dude named John Allen, so I am reading that.
Wow.
I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Hey,
I know, right? I'm enjoying that quite a bit. I need to pick that up again. That's right on top of my list. From the library, I got, you know, I do the thing where I turn stuff in and pay off my debt to society by paying my overdue fees and then seeing what's out there. I'm too behind on the Alan Bradley Flavia Deluce series, which makes me, I didn't realize it. I'm so sad because I love Alan Bradley. These mysteries are incredible. They feature an 11-year-old girl who's like a genius in chemistry, solving mysteries. And the one I just picked up is Speaking from Among the Bones. So I'm going to start reading that. And I happen to see, I'm curious about this. I happen to see on the New Arrival shelf, apparently Marvel, there are two, Susan knew I was going to bring this up. Apparently there are two books. I don't know if they're like connected or if this is like an imprint, but apparently Marvel is doing like superhero chick lit. And I shit you not, I'm holding in my hand this book called The She-Hulk Diaries, and I cannot wait to start this thing.
Now, see, is it like an actual book, or is it like a comic book?
It's a book. It is a novel. It is a book.
Wow.
It's by Marta Acosta. And I want to, like, how do I get on the work for hire list for this stuff? Because I am sold. Like, put me on the list. Dude.
Like, see, I don't know how that would translate, though. You know, because, I mean, I
don't
know.
Well, I haven't read it yet. We'll find out. I know I could do it. I have utter faith that it can be done. I really, my choice would be Sif from the Thor universe, like doing like a weird, like strong woman, because she has the whole unrequited love thing going on. You know, just going, just writing that hardcore and playing like with her a lot. That would be what I would want to do. You know, really delving into her character. I have not started this yet, and I probably won't for a few days. So I will let you know how it goes. You know, it may not be worth it, but the whole concept intrigues me. So I love, you know me, I love wrecking genres anyway, so.
Now, see, where the fuck is this, like, 10 years ago when I wrote, like, I wrote, like, supervillain, girl supervillain fan fiction, like, 10 years ago. Where the hell was this little tidbit then?
I know.
For you. I'm sure it's still floating around on adultfanfiction.net. Oh, I said the F word. I don't think I was allowed to say that on the radio. It's a dirty word. I can say fuck, but I can't say fanfiction.
God. Who made that rule?
I don't know. I just made it for myself. See, because I have this problem. See, while I'm totally writing fanfiction to get through writer's block, I'm, like, totally trying to distance myself from it, and it totally isn't working. And I've been
preach
totally
on. No, I agree.
4 minutes.
I've been there.
But it's okay, you know? But that's okay. Like, today I haven't even been able to do that, so. Oh, well.
I just started fanfictioning myself, which just ensures that the Kingdom City Chronicles is never going to end. But
yeah.
It's fun, though.
Yeah. Well, okay. Hey, you know, maybe someday all of us will be filthy, filthy rich because we sold our fan fiction as a novel about beating each other with sticks or something. But then we turned it into an original.
Well, I don't know if I've told you, but, like, my goal is, like, to actually – I've threatened Steven Zimmer with this. But, like, Susan and I have joked about, like, Clyde Bird from my series and her version of Loki from her series. Like, they should do, like, a cop series and, like, just go have adventures somewhere.
Well, that's okay.
I think he thinks we're kidding.
Well, I never knew about fan fiction. In fact, found a way to turn my fan fiction into a real book. But
oh, jeez.
But okay.
Don't confess that. Don't do that.
I know. Well, no, but somehow I've managed to make myself interested in writing a children's series. And nobody is allowed to laugh at that. No, you're not allowed to laugh.
I'm not laughing. My diaphragm just needs exercising. Like, it's not laughter. It's just...
I don't know. Because it's not like I don't have enough shit to do. It's not like one book that's going to be a series of increasingly large novels. And then, agreeing to do one anthology for sure, trying to submit to another one, plus I have this other dragon ship.
That's right.
So it's not as if I don't have anything else to do. And then suddenly, the other night in the bathtub, which is where this kind of shit always happens to me, boom, I have this total idea for a children's book series. And when I say children, I mean like middle grade, like ages 9 to 12.
What
am I doing? Yeah, whatever. It's really upsetting to me.
Oh, I know. Welcome to the world, Chickpea. I do that all the time. I have a list 40 miles long. I mean, the ideas keep coming, and I can't keep up with them.
I keep hoping that, like, some of the things in my unfinished folder... Unfinished folder. Like I ever take them and put them in a folder. Whatever. But in my unfinished folder, I have like all of these lovely things that I've written like between 5,000 and 10,000 words on. And I'm like, maybe one of those things will jump out at me and I'll actually finish it.
I know.
Like I have this cyberpunk thing from like 2 years ago that I haven't touched. And it's really cool. I just need to, like, go back and finish it. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to finish it. Have we completely lost Susan? Is she, like, asleep over there, or? No.
Susan.
She never told us. Did you ever tell us what you were reading? What are you reading right now?
No, we went off on the fan fiction tangent, which is fine, because,
sorry.
I'm used to it. We talk in circles anyway.
I do.
So I'm supposed to be telling everybody what I've been reading?
Yes.
Actually right now I am one story away from finishing one of Stephen Zimmer's books. I'm actually reading Hellscape. It's a little disturbing, and I told him this. He's definitely got a knack for creating really freaky scenarios, but the stories themselves are absolutely fantastic. I've had a lot of fun writing it. Not writing, reading. God, I can't even talk tonight. There's a screaming child at the top of my steps, my brain's a little rattled. Again, with that, having a child and still trying to be a professional, it doesn't always work. As far as that, I also just finished reading, and now this is the point where everybody's going to bust out laughing because they're all going to go, what the hell are you reading that for? I just finished the third in Marissa Meyer's Lunar Chronicles series, which is actually a young adult series. All space-age speculative fiction stories based on fairy tale characters. I'm usually one of the first ones to kind of look at YA and back away going, okay, is this really going to disappoint me? Because I've been burned so badly in the past. But the stories are very well constructed. They move really well. The characters are interesting. It's a good series, and it's one of those things. It's been a long time since I have found a book series that I could just fall into and just read the entire thing in, like, a week. And I did. I read all three books within, like, a week and a half. And it's actually a friend of ours, Lex, Amy, was the one that gave me the first one for Christmas. And as soon as I finished it, I immediately got on Facebook and went to yelling at her in a message going, how dare you do that to me without warning me that it was just going to stop. So I had to go out and buy the other two.
Yeah.
And now I'm
stuck at least until April of next year when the last book comes out, and it's about to drive me crazy because I want to know what happens.
Yeah, I was like, that with Martin G. It drove me nuts waiting for the last volume, and I'm still, like, in the queue at the library for it, and it's going to drive me crazy waiting to find out what happens.
Well, I can tell you guys what I'm reading.
What are you reading, John?
I am reading a book called New Avengers Breakout, and it is a prose novel. It is not a graphic novel, although it is based on a graphic novel. And it is written by Alyssa Quitney. And I'm also reading The Hydra Protocol by David Wellington. It's like a military techno thriller. Back to the whole She-Hulk thing, there are a lot of prose novels that Marvel is putting out, and they are putting out a large number of them that are being written by women, ironically, and it's really good stuff, so if you guys want to check that
I'm
out.
I'm excited. Yeah. Like, I know, like, because I am really big into Batman, and, like, I feel like in the 90s and maybe the early 2000s, they did that, because there's, like, a novelization of No Man's Land and some other stuff. And they were pretty good. They were No Man's Land was really good, and some others were pretty good. But, yeah, this excites me to see that, like, women authors are get in on a comic line, especially someone like Marvel. Like, I definitely, like, this definitely made me pick up the book. And if it's good enough, I could see me definitely reading as many novelizations as I could get my hands on, because I love stuff like this. So I'm excited.
So what's the next con that we are all going to be together at? Is it going to be Imaginarium?
I believe it is.
It's going to be Imaginarium. I'm doing Congregate next month in Winston-Salem. And actually, Nicole from Mocha Memoirs is going to be there.
Yep.
I'm doing that one, and then I've got too much crap on my plate this year. I apparently have, well, it's my husband's fault, okay? My husband is a writer as well. My husband is a writer as well, and he writes mostly nonfiction, ghost folklore from the Southeast, right? Well, he's on the paranormal tracks of all of these things. Well, you know, wouldn't love to be in public, and so every time somebody mentions something to him about a con, he totally signs both up. So, let's see. We're doing Congregate next month, and then we're doing Fandom Fest. He's got Monster Con also in July. At some point in there, we're squeezing a trip into the beach. Then we're after Imaginarium, we're doing, I think Susan and me are going to, Susan and I, whatever, are going to do something called the Novel Wine Book Fair that's here in South Carolina. It's a book signing, and there's a wine tasting, too, totally there.
It's a cultural arts festival. It's an arts festival in a vineyard, so, yeah, it's, like,
perfect.
Yeah,
holy shit. So we're doing that, and then we're doing a Comic-Con as well that's in Charleston, so that's me. That's my year.
See, I'm not doing any
of
that.
Are you doing
anything? I don't go out in public. I don't do things. So whatever, y'all can do all that. I'm signing up for
going out in public.
I feel like I'm losing here to you guys.
Sayla, did you just say you don't go out in public?
That was sarcasm, dear, but yes, I did say that.
Okay.
I would
say
never,
something, but
you
we're
know,
on the radio,
happen.
So I won't say that.
Susan, we should make the two of them carpool and come down here for like a Comic-Con or some shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We all need to get together and just take over Charleston. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
Oh, man.
Awesome. This is the joy of having, you know, all, the internet is what causes this to happen. Boys and girls, if you don't know how the internet causes this to happen, it causes people from various and sundry regions of the world to get together, and then they feel the need to be together physically. And so then they have to carpool and drive all over Hell's Half Acre trying to get together. And then when they do get together, boom, there's this, you know, explosion, and there's body parts everywhere, and it just...
Wow.
Yeah.
Or if someone really gets you killed in the parking lot by making you walk on ice and crutches.
Yeah.
You know what, and then there's all those pictures. That's the thing you need to talk about, the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we make sure that there are no pictures taken. That, I mean, that's the most important thing. You have to tackle anybody that comes near you with a camera or a phone.
Run.
Have to tackle them on the spot. You know, no pictures and it didn't happen. Although, there was a very disturbing picture of myself and Susan, Roddy, and Crimson Heart that made the rounds on Facebook the other day. If you are a seven-star reader, you probably saw it. Yeah. Pick the day when I'm, like, hungover and look like shit to have me posing like Charlie's Angels. I'm sure it's going to be some very insulting man on somebody's website at some point, you know?
The biggest problem we have with that picture right now is that Steven Zimmer is alone with it, and he is really creative.
Sounded kind of dirty. Sorry, Steven.
Oh, God.
He is not here tonight. We can pick on him all we want.
That's the thing that people need to realize, though. As a woman, like, author or whoever you are, if you're doing cons, like, people don't realize the sheer amount of work it is. So, like, get yourself up and make sure you look, like, semi-human and then, like, actually have to talk and interact with people. Like, dude, seriously,
oh, yeah.
If you saw me in my daily life.
Oh, yeah. Profound intelligent.
Holy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, okay.
And, like,
I
not look like Medusa. I mean, man.
I have this rule about public appearances and being a romance novelist. Okay, if you're going to write a book about people having sex, there's one basic thing you need to remember about public appearances. You need to look like somebody that has actually had sex at some point in your life. So, brush your hair, ladies. Brush your hair.
Oh,
come on,
wow.
Lipstick. Come on.
Really?
You don't have to dress up and everything. You don't have to wear a corset. I sat in that erotica panel the other night wearing a T-shirt that proclaimed that Brainy was the new sexy. But you know what? I had lipstick on. My hair was brushed. I even had a flower in my hair. So, you know what? I did look as if I had had sex at some point in the past. You can't go on a panel looking like you just stepped out of an Ovaltine commercial, and you also can't get on a sex panel looking like you just crawled out from under a bus. You just can't do it.
Ovaltine.
I just like saying Ovaltine on the radio.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. We're never going to be allowed to have a wild card night ever again.
I know.
Does smoking a cigarette help?
It can. You know, hey, I have a thing about smoking. We're not going to talk about a smoking fetish on the radio, okay? We said we were not going to make about erotica.
That's for next week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man. We got a little over 5 minutes if y'all want to talk about.
You know what? I just suddenly realized.
I'm not sure how you taught sex and Ovaltine.
Have we even talked to the dog?
I don't know.
We're just on the radio talking. we're like,
yeah,
we're
true.
Like,
I mean,
we're
just keep going.
In the middle age years. Have you noticed? Have you
wow.
So we're like pump up the volume in the middle age years, because none of us are told what our credentials are actually being on the radio are. Hi, everybody. I'm Alexandra Kristen. I write, in case you didn't notice, I write paranormal romance with erotic twists and some horror and some erotic horror, which is really interesting. So that's why I'm here. And
see, this
and,
is the point
then,
when I need
John
to
Allen,
Leonard Cohen's bones.
Nobody's saying.
Lord.
My name is John F. Allen. And I write urban fantasy, paranormal romance, and a little bit of sci-fi.
And you sound like you belong on the back of a tram.
I was going to say.
Well, you know, I have
all,
traveled
that
way before.
We all know
before.
That he's actually the voice of the speaking soul.
God,
I'm also,
okay.
I'm also the guy that does voices at the cons and keeps everybody laughing, so there you go.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, you are the guy that snuck up behind my husband at Phantom Fest and started singing Prince at him. You get a cookie just for that.
Well, you know.
Lord. God, you
Well,
Susan
R.
Yeah. Hi,
you're always on the show.
I write everything, and I'm the one that leaves Susan weird voicemails of the Swedish Chef singing, like, 80s power ballads, so that's my shtick.
Wow.
Yeah, and
there's
I do save those
now,
so just be warned.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What
Oh
my God, John! We should do a duet like at Imaginarium. Like we should get the sell like a Swedish Chef duet. Like we need to find a song that has like a guy in
a
girl.
This is a whole new take on author karaoke.
You have not lived till you hear me do Motley Crue as a Swedish Chef. I mean, come on.
Oh my God. Wow.
Don't
wow.
Right
here and it's misty.
So yeah. Yeah. All of the people who are listening to this podcast who have stuck it out until this point. Yeah. Don't you want to come to Imaginarium now? You can see all this live.
Yes, that is
a spot that'll keep you up for the rest of the night.
Hey, I have been told that we are the show anywhere we go. So, you know what? Let's just run with that.
That's
yep.
true. That's true. That's true.
I mean, come on.
I think we need to go back to the troll pub.
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yes, we do.
Yes,
we
did.
We need to make that a point during Imaginary.
I hope
we
will have a troll at I hopefully will have a troll at Imaginarium, so we should take the troll to the troll pub.
And you
yes.
need to have a copy of your book so that you can have the book with you in front of the troll outside and with the other troll that you have, and we can take a picture. This would be
yes.
immortalizing you. You know, this is what
as
we got to do.
I'm
starting
to
have some
sort of party
I mean, you know
at the troll pub. You know?
I gotta cut you guys
yeah.
off. Hey, we've got about a minute to go. So how about real quick, everybody give your links, tell everybody where they can find you, and then we'll say goodnight, okay?
Absolutely. Alexandra Kristen, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Lex Kristen. I am also on Facebook as Alexandra Kristen. You can also find me at my blog, lexchristen.wordpress.com.
Next.
Okay, I am Sailor Janelle. I am at that's SELAHJANEL at Twitter and at Sailor Janelle. Facebook, I am facebook.com/authorSJ, and my blog is sailorjanelle.wordpress.com.
All right, John, go.
I am John F. Allen, and you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook as John F. Allen Writer, author, and you can also email me at johnfallenwriter@gmail.com.
All right, and last but not least, I am Susan Roddy. You can find me on Facebook as Susan H. Roddy or author S.H. Roddy. You can also find me at shroddy.com. And we are out of time. It has been a blast.
Woo!
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll do it again next week.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap. I think we're done. It's been fun. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a fun night.
Bye, guys.
Night.
Night.
Night, everybody.
Night.
Night.